The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. I can't hear myself over that music. Okay, that's fantastic. Hello and a very good morning to you. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here. We are broadcasting live from the Mount Errigal Hotel. It's a very special show, but it has all the usual features as well that you might expect, that you might imagine. 086 60 25000, that is the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 07491 25000. If you want to email the show, it is comments@highlandradio.com. just wait till I move into position here. Okay, comments@highlandradio.com, and don't forget you can watch the program as well. We're streaming live across our social media channels, fingers crossed and all that jazz. Okay, we have a Friday panel on a Thursday for you. They're going to be with us very shortly. It is Charles Gallagher, Cassie Lamb and Chloe Martin. But firstly, being Thursday and it's a busy morning for the newspapers, we're going to have a look at and see what is making the headlines. And we'll start with the Derry People, Donegal News. And Gardaí have launched an investigation after a man in his 70s died following an alleged assault in Derry Beg at the weekend. Derek Burns passed away at Letterkenny University Hospital on Tuesday night following the incident at Carrick Boyle on Sunday last. A Bunbeg man has appeared by video link from Castlereagh Prison at Fallcarra District Court yesterday. He faced a number of charges relating to the incident. The Tyrconnell Tribune this morning, their political lead is party grassroots drive Cope's EU bid. The decision by Pat the Cope Gallagher to seek a Fianna Fáil nomination for the Midlands Northwest EU election in June has been driven by the party's grassroots in Donegal. They have pledged, to move mountains to have him returned to Brussels. Sources said that the Cope has served in Europe on two occasions with a strong success rate for the farmers, the Marine and Rural Ireland. The news has been welcomed by the party grassroots in Donegal, pointing out that despite losing his seat in the 2020 general election, Gallagher never left public life and continued to work for constituents ever since. And that is starting to become a very busy field, not just generally speaking, but also for Fianna Fáil, it would seem. The Democrat has the same lead as the Donegal News. A pensioner from West Donegal has died following a serious assault on Sunday morning. Derek Burns, who is aged in his 70s, passed away at Letterkenny University Hospital, very sadly, on Tuesday night. The Derry News this morning, freedom of the city for John McCourt. The majority of the page is a picture of Mr McCourt receiving that honour. Now on to the Nationals, and this is a story that you see most years, if the truth be told. The hospitals tend to empty or try and empty beds because people want to be at home as best they can at Christmas, and staff want as much time as they can get as well, I'm sure. But anyway, hospitals are on a drive to empty wards of as many patients as possible in a bid to avert another dangerous spike in trolley gridlock after the Christmas period. At most hospitals will not carry out any surgery on waiting list patients for at least 3 weeks, except where urgent. Hundreds of beds normally used for treating people on waiting lists will be kept free for patients coming through emergency departments to control overcrowding. I can't tell you how difficult it is to read these papers in this lighting here. It's quite dark. It's quite dark here. The Irish Daily Mail this morning. A blame game has erupted between the government and an Gardaí Síochána over an arson attack at a hotel earmarked for refugees amid claims Gardaí had not been briefed on plans to move asylum seekers into the building. Yesterday, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, well, he contradicted a claim by Garda Commissioner Drew Harris that the force was not informed of plans to move 70 refugees into the Ross Lake House Hotel in Ross Cahill, County Galway. Mr. Varadkar insisted Gardaí were informed in writing by the government that the 13-bedroom property, which was burnt down in an arson attack at the weekend, was selected to accommodate asylum seekers. And I think really it's about the chains of command and how that information is passed on to Gardaí locally. They sent the email, but clearly there's something missing. The Farmers Journal this morning, Suckler farmers in the Suckler Carbon Efficiency Programme could be granted a reprieve on the controversial changes to the beef indexes. Discussions are ongoing between Department of Agriculture officials and ICBF on what changes can be made to the scheme conditions in response to farmers' frustrations over the impact of the index moves. Tons in the Farmers' Journal today, as always. Now, let's go to the Times, actually. I'm skipping around a little bit compared to how we might normally do things, but we'll go to the Times now. And a funny story, not funny story, funny ha-ha, but funny strange, warning over champagne cork-related eye injuries, can you imagine? All set for a box fizz for a... Mimosa on Christmas morning. We're looking forward to opening the champagne as the clock approaches midnight on New Year's Eve. Be careful this festive season, warn researchers writing in the Christmas issue of the British Medical Journal. Apparently quite a number of people get a cork in the eye and end up in hospital, which sounds incredibly unpleasant. I'd say it feels even worse. The Irish Daily Star this morning, the wife and two brothers of murdered Josef Puska, he's the murderer, appeared in court yesterday charged with withholding information. Marek Puska and his 35-year-old sibling, Lubomir, are charged with withholding information that could have led to the prosecution of the killer of 23-year-old teacher Ashley Murphy in January last year. His wife, Lucia, is also charged with the same offences between the 12th and 27th, 2022 at Tullamore Garda Station. All three are accused of failing without reasonable excuse to disclose as soon as was practical to Garda information which they are alleged to have known or believed might have material assistance in the securing of the securing the apprehension, prosecution or conviction of Puska. Okay, we have a light now. Okay, that's great. The next story here is man dies after house assault. This is the same story that we saw in the local papers and it's covered nationally as well. Alongside that, a man facing charges linked to the largest ever seizure of cocaine in the north was paying for prostitutes on the day he was arrested, a court heard yesterday. The claim emerged as the court was told the concealment of 15 million euro of drugs represents organised crime at its highest level. And finally, if you're looking for a change of career, this one might interest you. A 65,000 euro a year job as a butler that includes a home and car has been advertised, but you must be an all-rounder. Cooking, housekeeping and being good with dogs are vital attributes of would-be candidates, I'm told. This is no simple organisational gig or being from front of house. You really have to be able to do it all. All right, OK, that was a run-through of what's making the headlines on some of the papers today. Just to remind you that you can text in your comments on anything I've mentioned there or whatever you want to talk about yourself. 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. It is a packed show, so we want you to stay tuned. We're going to take a break now and then we will be right back. Okay, the time is, I don't have the time to, it's on my watch, 9:15. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Okay, we are joined by a Friday panel on a Thursday, and it's our younger panel. No offence to any of our, what's going on, Cassie? Did I miss something?
No.
Okay, right. That is Cassie Lamb. Good morning, Cassie. Thanks
morning,
very much
Grace.
For joining us. We also have got... Chloe Martin again, Chloe.
Good morning.
How are you getting on? Good. And also in the middle, we have Charles Gallagher, Youth Advocacy Campaigner. Good morning to you.
Hello, Greg. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Good to have you all with us. Okay. Right. You didn't have to too far. I keep bumping into you, Cassie, here in the Mount Errigal.
I am.
You're never out of the place.
I'm never. No, but... Yeah, but sure, Greg, you don't leave to watch yourself often.
Everything is held here.
It's
what are you supposed
destiny.
To do? What are you supposed to do? All right, okay, so Cassie, I mean, we're not going to get too deep into too much stuff, but I was just interested maybe in getting younger person's view of the big conversation at the moment, and that is in relation to immigration, and I think it's going to be equally as big in 2024. What's your views on what you're observing, I suppose, the public reaction, the political reaction?
So in my own opinion, my own views, but this has been from a rural area, I think, especially for rural students, I think our end of the day goal is to leave Ireland.
Yeah.
It's not the goal that the government would want to see, but that's how a lot of people would do. Like, they would head to Australia, to Dubai, for a better lifestyle. And the government would be thinking, oh, why are all these young people leaving? Because now we are lacking, say, teachers in schools, nurses in hospitals. And the real question is, the way we are living, we don't have, say, especially in rural areas, we don't have transportation, the healthcare, compared to countries like Dubai. They have a great healthcare system, and it's tax-free. So really, that's what my views would be on it.
That's in terms of outward migration, of course, but another element of that is the inward immigration,
right.
And that has proved really quite controversial at the moment. Do you have a particular view on that? And not everyone has formulated a view on it, because it is really quite a complex one.
My own view, especially, is the government hasn't thought it out 100%. Donegal has the highest rate of migration in towards Ireland, and we can barely home ourselves with, say, the likes of Micah, with the likes of the house of living crisis. We can barely house ourselves. They haven't thought it through, and it can work. They need to do better background checks as well. That's in my own opinion, but they need to really take a better think about it.
Chloe Martin, what do you think?
I think that the biggest issue for me personally is just the background checks. I mean, for any of us wanting to leave and say go to America, even I was thinking about going to America next summer for a job, and the visa process is very extensive, and same if you want to go to Australia. So I feel like I can understand people's frustration about the level of immigrants coming into the country without any background checks whatsoever. I feel like it's not entirely safe, but at the same time, they need somewhere to go, but the government just needs to handle it better.
I would say in your school, like all schools now, there's probably many students from a different cultural background, maybe, you know, second generation that moved to Donegal, and they were born here perhaps, or moved here very young. It must be very difficult for some, at least some of those people, to hear the way this conversation is being had, and then, you know, maybe they're finding themselves being treated somewhat differently now that this has all really come into the public conversation.
Definitely. I feel like there's a couple of Ukrainian students in my school and students from different cultures in general, and I feel like the younger people do definitely get the brunt of it, especially when they're in school. I don't think that's entirely fair. It's not their fault they had to leave their country, and I'm not saying with the background checks that we have to check every 10-year-old that's coming into the country. I think it's just in general, the frustration's definitely understandable.
Yeah, but I think as adults, we have to be conscious too as how our conversation maybe affect our children and how they treat other children as well. Do you know what I mean? A lot of that sort of humanity is being lost, I feel, anyway. What about you, Charles, as a youth advocacy campaigner?
Like you said yourself, Greg, it's a very complex situation. For myself now, I've only moved back to Donegal from Dublin there in July. I spent the best of 3 years down in Dublin, and the situation down there in regards to immigration is just shocking. I know it's shocking up here in Donegal, but I haven't been able to actually see it for myself in terms of that. But like, for the terms like of the way like the far right as well, especially, are kind of taking the situation and completely mixing it and making it turn out to be something that it isn't. Like, they're causing riots.
Yeah, I get that. You know what I mean? I get that. I'm not disputing what you're saying. Mm. But to some extent, it is kind of interesting, or certainly worth observing, that now what we're seeing is political parties saying some of the stuff that the far right have been saying for quite some time.
Exactly.
Not all of it, right? Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. And I think we know, you know, really some extreme activity and extreme language. But much of what's being said now, I mean, I was listening to Leo Varadkar talking this morning about the importance of Europe shoring its borders up. Do you know that sort of a way? It's like there is definitely a political shift.
There is a political shift there, and I definitely agree with you there. There have been a lot of politicians in the last 6 months that have said things and have now gone back on them and now have said different things. And I think when you're talking about an issue, a situation where it's thousands and thousands of people's lives in conflict zones and they're coming to our country, you really have to have a steadfast and one opinion on it. You can't be swapping around your opinions on
it. And I think really what the public want, which they haven't been given yet, which would help an awful lot, is actual guarantees that the people that are coming in are A, they don't have a, you know, a criminal background, but B, they are genuinely fleeing a desperate situation.
Exactly,
and don't just...
there's a lot of people there as well that aren't fleeing conflict zones, and they're just taking the opportunity that is here now because of the situations in Ukraine and Israel and Palestine, and they're leaving their country to come into Ireland trying to seek asylum. And like Chloe said as well, like the background checks, like I just it really doesn't make sense to me how someone can come into our country without a background check. Like when we, if we were to go to their country, it would definitely be done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy.
Okay, that's the voice there of Charles Gallagher, youth advocacy campaigner, and we're also in the company of Cassie Lamb, regional officer with the Irish Second Levels Union. Chloe Martin on the Students' Council of Loreto Community School in Milford. We were just reading in the newspapers there about, you know, speculation as to who may or may not run in the European elections, and the council elections are going to be up and coming this year. I suppose there's two kind of questions, Cassie. Are you interested in it, which I suspect to some extent you are? But I suppose the second part of that question is how many of your peers actually are or take any interest in it at all?
Well, for the second question, anyways, relating to my peers, I think not too many. I think just being a youth activist in general or being interested in politics is a very rare thing for someone like myself in third year to be doing. You know, you would get judgment a lot even just for doing these type of things, things that you're passionate about. And that still happens, say, if you're going for the EU or even for the Dáil Éireann or going for any party, you will be judged for some rights for your own views. And that's the scary thing compared to activism. But for the EU or even just local elections, what I have to say really is that for we need to vote for the right people, for your right views. That's really what I'll only say. I wouldn't have the biggest, it wouldn't be my main priority for EU, but I think Irish politics would be my main then EU, but that would be my views anyways.
Yeah, but it's getting people really interested in voting that to get some sense that it's going to make any difference. And that's the, that's what's going to be the struggle for you know, for politics going forward, I think.
Yeah, no, 100%, because even when you come on the topic of voting in general, you kind of do see a lot of people wouldn't really even vote for EU. It's more local elections. Even when it comes to county councils, I would even say not 100% of Donegal will go out and go for, vote for their councillor. That's what I would even say. But even for young people to get into politics, like only two schools in Donegal do politics and society as a Leaving Cert subject. Say for my school doesn't supply a Leaving Cert for politics.
Yes.
So for me anyways, because I'm passionate about politics and society, I'm going to do it outside of school because I want to keep it going. And that's...
But see as you've dug deeper into this, right, has it made you more passionate about politics or less interested about politics, if you know what I mean, the deeper you sort of have dug in with your interest?
Yeah, 100%.
More interested?
100%. I've tons more interest into it. I just think you need to find what you are passionate about. For me, it's rural and urban situations as well as gender inequality. And that's what got me more into passionate into politics. I just think everyone needs to find what they are passionate about. And there's always a subject in that in the world of politics.
Yeah. What about you, Chloe? Although, what is the question, actually? Because we've been going on for quite some time. No, your interest in local or EU. I mean, like, a lot of the times I've spoken to you, you know, you're all planning your future, and to some extent, hopefully it changes, but you probably see it outside of Ireland. Does that mean, then, that you are less interested, I suppose, in the politics of Ireland?
Not necessarily, no. I still have a great interest in the politics in Ireland and my local politics. I definitely think that this is the first year that I'll be actually able to vote in the elections, which is exciting. But I definitely think that local elections especially are a chance for you to push for changes you want to see in your community. Me personally, like Cassie touched there on rural deprivation and everything, that'd be a big passion of mine. And for me, these local elections are a chance for me to push my local councillors, if they want my vote, for them to really work on things.
So if they come up to your door, are you going to say, well, you know, what's your views on this or what's your views on that?
Absolutely.
And,
yeah,
and what will you be, you know, as long as it's not private, of course, what will you be saying?
Like, definitely asking about the local transport, like the local link, and also local amenities. It's more for younger people. I know I have two significantly younger brothers, so for me, the politics in our local area is going to affect them as they grow up. So I would love to see politicians in my local area taking more of a lead on getting more amenities for the young kids, after school clubs, that kind of thing. But in relation to my peers, as Cassie was saying, we take politics in society in Loretto. And I find that a lot of people my age who are either 18 or coming 18 have a great interest in it, because they actually get to vote this year and they're doing their research and they're putting themselves out there really wanting to get a chance to get their voice heard.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, it's really, really important. I'm not going to bother voting. But then thinking things aren't really being run well, it's not, you know what I mean? I don't think it's useful. I think you do have to, I'm not saying you can't have an opinion, but I think your opinion carries more weight if you are actually prepared to put an X or a tick or whatever it is. Charles, what do you think?
Well, I'm actually pumped. I can't wait for the European local elections.
That's going a little bit OTT, isn't it?
I just can't wait to vote. I think it's great that we're going to get a bit of a change of pace, hopefully, in the Donegal County Council as well. So I'm very, very much excited for it. And it's great to hear, like, especially for Cassie, like, she's her junior cert, and it's great to hear someone, like, whenever I was her age, making me sound old now, but I was like that whenever I was her age. My views now, like, last time I was on here with you, like, I probably had way different opinions on my future and everything. I probably would actually be running in the local elections if I had my way back then. But nowadays, like, I just think politics is such a toxic thing to be involved in. Like, my interest in it has just diminished completely.
Yeah.
But in the facts of voting, me and my friend there were talking about it last night, and she said to me, "You're hardly going to vote, are you?" And I was like, "Of course I am. Why would I not vote? You need to voice your opinion. If you don't vote, then no change is going to happen." Mm-hmm. That's the only way the change can happen in our society, is if you vote. Do you know what I mean?
It's an interesting point you make, though, about not wishing to be involved in politics or to even stand for it. I'm pretty thick-skinned, but I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, no, like, it's just, there's a lot of toxicity that people aren't very much aware of until you actually get deep and dirty into, like, the situation of politics. Do you know what I mean? I would definitely say to yourself, be careful on that, Cassie, because, like, I was doing so, so well in it, and it just takes a couple of things to just crush your spirit. And once that there happens, you kind of need to take a step back and focus more on the youth advocacy part of it, which is what I've been doing now for the last year.
But the thing is though, when I get you, and it's sound advice, Charles, but, like, at that rate, who is going to be the future? Who are going to be the politicians of the future?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Because who would? I mean, you're hearing what Charles is saying, Cassie, but, I mean, someone has to step up, though. But you do have to be, I think, a particular...
Yeah.
And I think you also, too, have to... I think the most successful politicians surround themselves with... I think they're insulated from the criticism, maybe. Can I put it like that?
I would nearly just say, like, even just in politics and today, like, even to me being... I would go to the county council, and if I sit there and I said stuff about my project about rural students, and, you know, when I heard them saying, "Oh, well, we'll get back to you on that one," or, like, "You're so amazing, you're so young and you're doing this," like, that does break you a little bit, because you're there, like, I'm putting myself on show, I'm showing you what I'm passionate about, and yet you're just turning it to the side. And that's what the hard thing about youth activism is. But there's even just TDs in North Dublin who are making decisions for Donegal when they probably haven't even taken a foot inside of here. And that's what I would say, because there's not too many people actually speaking up for Donegal, so it's up to the youth now.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. A texter says, "What day is the draw for the car?" Well, that's tomorrow. on the programme. So we're looking forward to that. And also there's a €1,000 cash draw later today and another one tomorrow, or potentially 2,000 tomorrow. That all remains to be seen. So stay tuned throughout the course of this day, and we'll keep you updated. OK, we are still in the company of Charles Gallagher, Youth Advocacy Campaigner, Cassie Lamb, Regional Officer for the Irish Second Level Students' Union, and Chloe Martin on the Students' Council of Loretto Community School in Milford. We've got later on in the show as well, by the way, we've got loads of live music live here from the Mount Argyll Hotel in Letterkenny. We'll be having a little walk around a little later on as well to see what's going on around here. And just to remind you, if you want to watch the show, you can watch us on your large screen TV or your Fire Stick. If it's a smart TV, it's got the YouTube app. Just put in Highland Radio Ireland, and across all your mobile devices on Facebook as well, Highland Hub, Highland Radio News and Sport. Okay, now, Charles, I've filled enough. You're comfortable? You're back?
Yeah,
it's good to have
yeah.
that many messages. right, it's actually that one's got the slight thing on it, but it's fine. So I think you've touched on it, and you've mentioned it a few times, Chloe. What would you like to see to the fore from a youth perspective in this being an election year? Because we're not too far away from a general election, and you can kind of see, you know, people are getting prepared for it, they're getting their positions sorted out and all that type of stuff. But I haven't heard anything really that, unless it's to do with buying a house in the future or something, that really speaks to young people. Am I missing something?
I haven't heard much either, to be honest. Besides,
like, you're a new voter. I should be all over your case. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I am a new voter, but speaking as a young person as well, I haven't seen a whole lot that's just going for us. Besides, I mean, there was the lowering of the college fees there, but besides that, there isn't a whole lot going for us. I'm really waiting for them to bring up transport in rural areas. That's a big thing for young people if they want to keep us in the country.
And because I know people from rural parts of the county that they just feel trapped and they have to leave, right? And I don't think they necessarily want to. So when you talk about rural transport, you're talking about, are you having a bit of independence, being able to go into places, not just, you know, at 9:30 in the morning and 4:30 in the afternoon, but, you know, if you want to go out socialising with friends in Letterkenny, that there's a reliable service. Is that what you're talking about? Something that connects you to the rest of the county?
Definitely. I mean, we're geographically isolated, Donegal, and
yeah.
I am from Fanlid. I mean, it really is the rural of rural Ireland.
Mm.
And I just think there's nothing.
Did you not get a new bridge or something? No.
Sorry?
Do you not have a big bridge? That you can go into Carrigart now.
Oh, that's great.
What else do you want, woman?
Letterkenny, maybe? but I just think it's such a reason people, young people, are leaving, because it's cheaper to leave and go find a job somewhere else where you don't need a car than stay here and buy a car and get your license and pay for all that. And I just think it's such a big issue. Like, even coming to Letterkenny today, I had to figure out, do I have to get the bus up? Sure, if no mum's working, how am I going to get to Letterkenny?
Yeah.
And I did get left up in the end. But
I was going to say, now I'm starting to feel guilty. But
and just like things like that, like scheduling my day based on a bus timetable. And even if there was more times in the bus timetable, I'm going off. I was out on Friday night, and it was €80 for a taxi back to Kerrykeen.
My God.
That is, like, there was four of us in the car, and it was mental money. I couldn't get over it when I got in.
Mm.
All because I think the latest bus is, like, 12 coming back, which is all well and good, but that's not really late enough for a night out.
No, exactly. And you know, the funny thing is, and you haven't really mentioned it, but I'm sure it forms all part of your decision. Like, you're talking about avoiding owning a car. You're talking about a green way of getting around. Do you know what I mean? So
exactly.
You're talking about it for, you know, your personal life. But this is exactly what the Greens are saying we all should be doing. You just want to be able to bloody do it. Like,
I know. That's all I think people want to be doing. And as well, we all have an interest in global warming. And if they're wanting to fight this, and if they're wanting to, you know, act against climate change, they should be really acting on better ways for us to get public transport. And they're not. That's the reality of it. They don't seem to care enough.
Thanks, as always, Chloe. Stay there where you are. Cassie, you know, what are the big issues for you, so to speak? What would you want? I mean, and obviously, listen, health, housing, all of that stuff is for all of us anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But I'm on about something, you know, that you want to focus on the youth. And if it's the same as Chloe, that's perfectly fine too.
Yeah, no, like, I think any time we are on part of the youth panel, rural areas always come up, whether it's from transportation with the trains or housing with the Mikan projects. They are huge projects that we always do talk about. It somehow always comes up, and let alone it is as important. But I would say for a project that's personally close to my heart, it might not affect everyone, but I would say gender equality in sport. I think I've brought it up one or two times over the past year, I'd say, myself.
What does gender equality in sport look like? What does it mean?
So for myself, playing camogie, I've been playing camogie since I was 4 or 3. And, you know, growing up, I saw the gender inequality compared to the boys in who were playing hurling. And growing up then and playing county level then, you can just see the funding difference.
Mm-hmm.
There's more money coming into clubs. I think it's near about $1 million into the county level. It's around that sort of area. And I was just thinking about it last night, and I was like, where's the money going to go to?
Yeah.
Realistically, mm-hmm. majority of that is going to go to the men's football team, or it's going to go to the underage for boys.
Yeah.
The LGFA and the Camogie Association will always be nearly isolated.
And it's not just, you know, the sports that you're interested in. We saw the big controversy with the soccer team.
Yeah.
Let me put it to you like that. And
exactly. Like, it's not just camogie and hurling. It's in soccer. It's in the LGFA. It's all in women's sports, golf. It's even, say, publicity-wise. There's always going to be something about Gaelic teams, say, up on Donegal Daily or up on the Independent about GAA, let alone the Camogie Association or Donegal Camogie or whatever. We're always going to be isolated in that sort of part. Do I think it's fair? 100% not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It's in club level, it's in county, it's international, and I don't, and it's all the money, I can't speak, sorry, but the money is all coming.
Fine. Yeah.
The money's all coming from the one place,
yeah.
And that's Sport Ireland, and it's just not being spread out equally, even though there's way more people playing GAA compared to LGFA and the Camogie, but that's so understandable, but that does not mean that you can just leave those two groups or the soccer for girls, you can't just leave them and just think, oh, they'll be grand with their certain amount.
Okay, no, listen, that's it's good points well made. I suppose from your perspective, Charles, when you a youth advocacy campaigner, is that a two-way street? Like, is it, I mean, you how does that work? So who are you you're advocating on behalf of the youth, are you? And how do you do that? How do you engage with them? Where do you take that information? And then I'll get to the broader question afterwards.
Well, I suppose that's a hard question to answer. Mm. But I suppose from the way that I would do it anyway, it would probably be from the point of I have a lot of friends that are still involved in kind of youth groups.
Yep.
So kind of like ISU, like here, like Cassie, the NYCI, and also the political parties. So I suppose it's a matter of like whenever I get to go to Brussels and go to get to go to the European Parliament or the Commission, what I always do is kind of do a roundup of all my friends, ask them what are the issues that you've heard from your friends, take it all, make it into like kind of a statement, bring it with me.
Yeah.
That's the way I do
it's
it
as
anyway.
Simple as that. Yeah,
you know what
cool.
I mean? Like,
so what then? I mean, we've heard from both Cassie and Chloe, and of course that's going to be in that conversation.
Yeah.
But can you take a broader approach as to what you hear from younger people?
Well, I suppose younger people now, the people I'd be hearing from now are probably in their 20s. Do you know what I mean? Nowadays, or even people that are Chloe's age here. And I know that this is a situation that's kind of going on in most places around the country, and that's the driving test.
Mm.
Like, you know, I've been waiting myself 8 months for the driving test, and I haven't been in a car now since September.
And just because that is a real problem, because after, firstly, you have to get your theory.
Yes.
Then you have to apply for your license, though, because you can't do the test until six months have passed.
Exactly.
Right? Okay, so that's 6 months minimum. So in between that, you're doing the lessons and whatever you might call them, right? And then 8 months. So
But you have to remember as well, whenever you're doing those lessons, you could be in college, you can be in secondary school.
For sure.
You might not have time to take them like I didn't myself. And they have to be all spaced out usually. Mm. Like, I think it took me about 6 or 7 months in general just to do my 12 lessons.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
so the process is,
it's long.
Heading up on 2 years, like, and that's
long,
providing you pass the first time.
Exactly.
And the amount of pressure that's on you to do it.
And then 2 years as well. Exactly. And it is insane.
Yeah.
And then with the RSA, bringing in like a new regulation for the test apparently as well. I just think that like for people that are waiting on their test, that regulation, like if they've already completed their 12 lessons and they don't get their test in time before those new regulations come in, they shouldn't be required to take that new regulation when they haven't done the stuff that's in it. And then, like, don't even get me started about the Polestar. I haven't even gone on it yet in a car. Like, I did all my 12 lessons on the old Polestar, if you will. So it's just like, I'm just terrified to get on it now.
It's perfectly fine. Follow the lights, follow the lanes.
Yeah, there's a lot of lanes, Greg.
yes, there is, but...
And a lot of lights.
But that being said, I'm being all smart because I'm always coming in one direction. Yeah. I had to use it the
other way. See, luckily I'm coming in from a
but I had to use it from the other way around there the other day, and it was like... This is all very new all of a sudden, but yeah, you'll have to do a few refreshers on the Polestar. There's no doubt about
definitely,
that.
Definitely, 100%.
Right, stay where you are. We're listening to Charles Gallagher there. He's a youth advocacy campaigner, Cassie Lamb, regional officer for the Irish Second Level Students Union, and Chloe Martin on the Students' Council of Loreto Community School. And we'll be back with more from them and so much more, and I'll tell you more about what's coming up after the break. Very welcome back to the Mount Errigal Hotel, a beautiful hotel here in Letterkenny. And we're broadcasting live today because we want to accommodate lots of different guests. So just to give you an idea of some of the stuff that's coming up later in the show, we'll be crossing over to Sinead and Tommy. They're continuing their tour of nursing homes, community hospitals and what have you. They are in Remelton Community Hospital. We're going to be going to them in the second hour. We have the Mulroy College Choir in studio. They're going to do a couple of songs. And when I say in studio, I mean here. The Three Marys are going to join us as well. Lovely ladies from the west of the county. They're going to be singing for us live as well. And we are also going to be joined by some representatives of some really important groups. Rosa Glacken, Cathy O'Connor, Dr. Marie Hainsworth and Eunan Deveni. And then we have Arne? Arne's in studio too, doing one or two songs. So that's it. It's going to be great for the next couple of hours. So you only have to put up with Charles, Cassie and Chloe for another... How long is it? What's wrong? Did I say something wrong?
Huh? You're off with us with another 10 minutes.
Joking. Come here. You talked about the reduction in fees. I think it was you. I might come to you first on that one because that's and we'll bring Cassie back in a second. Chloe, talk to me about that and the significance for it or the significance of it or otherwise.
I think as somebody, I'm going to be sitting the Leaving Cert now and I'm just starting to fill out my college applications at the minute.
I feel like you're about 27 and because I feel like I've been speaking to you for years, if you know what I mean, and with the maturity that you and Cassie speak, I sometimes forget that you're only actually now starting to sit your Leaving Cert.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of filling out my applications for colleges at the minute, which is... But scary, but in terms of the fees lowering, it's definitely helped me in terms of I really wanted to go to Galway for a long time, and then the fees on top of the price of accommodation really put me off it, and I was for going to the north. And my heart is still a wee bit set in the north just because of the whole issue with accommodation in Galway and Dublin at the minute. But I definitely think it's a step in the right direction. I'm really happy they've finally taken the initiative.
I think Galway's more manageable than Dublin, though, isn't it? But you see, what we have to do and what our disadvantage is we're so far removed from it. Do you know what I mean? And we're used to being in control and sorting things out locally, whatever. But, you know, it's such a difficult process to do almost remotely. I know you go up and down, but do you know what I mean?
Definitely, it's so far away. I mean, my course isn't in the ATU in Letterkenny, so I won't be able to go there. My course is only in Galway and Dublin and then the north. But I definitely think that it's a step in the right direction. But at the same time, I'd love for them to look at the accommodation because I mentioned Galway there. I know somebody that was in Galway. She was in, I think, her second or third year, and campus isn't guaranteed. And she was living in a hostel for the year because there was no accommodation for her.
Yeah.
And the rent was far too high and that kind of thing. So
yeah, of course. And it is what all part of the housing crisis as well. What about you, Charles? Well, maybe I'll go to Cassie first because I think you've done your leaving, haven't you?
Yeah, but I've got a great story.
Right, go on, bring it on then. Bring it on then.
Just when she's talking about fees and all, like I did my 3 years in Dublin and I went to TUD in Dublin. I did 2 years there. It was 10 grand for my accommodation each year, 9 months. It was not an easy thing.
Like I know people that's their mortgage.
Yeah.
No exaggeration.
No,
It's actually slightly less than
that.
A couple that I know.
It is insane. And that's genuinely because there wasn't cheaper accommodation in Dublin. Like I looked around a lot. And then due to a lot of other factors, and housing being one of them, I couldn't find housing for my last year in college. Mm-hmm. So I had no choice but to move back to Donegal and try and move to ATU. But sadly, I missed the deadline. So it was a matter of I have to work for a year and then go back to college to finish off my last year. But it was just, it's so inconvenient. It's so inconvenient to students, like, because you want to get your undergrad done so that you can move on to better and brighter things and even do a master's afterwards. But with all these, like, housing crises and crisis on living and funding, it's just, like, I don't know how the government expects students to be able to go to college and finish their degrees.
And we're also going to be talking later on to St. Vincent de Paul, who are working a lot with working families. You know, people with two jobs, and they do have the fuel or the food or fuel kind of conversations, and then maybe have someone coming through and have to sort of say, well, how in God's name can we get them to college or support them like we want to, you know, because all parents, I think, want to do as best they can for their young people. What do you think, Cassie? It's a step in the right direction, but it really, there's so much more needs to be done.
Yeah, no, 100%. And
what year are you in now, by the way?
I'm in third year. So
third year, right. That's even worse.
Yeah, so I'll be doing my box now at the end of January, and a lot of people are saying the junior cert doesn't really matter. They're right about that, you know, but it's still an exam that...
Well, it's a good practice for the leaving, isn't it?
You know, I'm very lucky that I got a chance to do it. I'm getting the chance to do it, even though I'm complaining non-stop about it. And you see, I have an older brother, my older sister, they didn't do a mock because of COVID. And, you know, my sister, she's doing her leaving cert now, and she's saying, oh, I wish I did a mock, or I wish I did a junior cert, because it would actually prep her.
Yeah.
And I think being the youngest in the family, you can just see that my brother goes to the HU and he's doing accounting, and my sister, she hopes to go to Galway. And when you're the youngest, you kind of see, well, Johnny, my brother, he always wanted maybe to go to the north, and then he went to the HU because of accommodation. And then you kind of look at it being like, well, my dreams go to Dublin. But realistically, will I find the accommodation? Yeah. When I'm in sixth year, will I have to work two jobs? If I'm in college, will I have to work two jobs?
The only advantage you have, though, is that, you know, there is a number of years, and we can only hope that things improve and things settle down. I mean, that's me trying to be optimistic, don't get me wrong, but that's the one thing maybe you possibly have in your advantage.
Yeah, but people say there's going, hopefully there'll be a change. My opinion, I don't see a change coming very soon, and I hate to say that, but we have to be realistic. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's going to take longer than 3 or 4 years for me anyways. Mm. That's when I'll be doing my leaving cert. And just to see, you know, young people, say yourself, you're 18, and then your dream was always to go to Dublin. And next thing, you can't go anymore because it's too expensive. And then a lot of colleges are bringing sometimes down their points now because a lot of people isn't going to Dublin. And we're very lucky, I would say, the HU. You know, they have really good courses, and I think my mum wants me to anyway stay in the ATU because good courses, to be fair, and I wouldn't complain too much to stay in the ATU. But, you know, we'll have to see.
And there is a sort of an elephant in the room, Chloe, and maybe young people don't want to say it, is... And there is a sort of a growing and social element to college as well. I mean, obviously, you know, it's about progressing your education and all of that, but I mean... It is nice to get out of the house, maybe, a bit of independence, you know, start reheating pizzas, spaghetti bolognese, you know, the usual stuff. Yeah. But, you know, it is, for a lot of people, previous generations, it is part of the growing up process.
Definitely. I think a big thing for me is just independence. I don't know, even if the course wasn't ATU, now if I couldn't get accommodation, it'd be a different story, but I personally can't wait to get away for a few years and just experience, you know, be independent from my family and learn what it's like to be a grown-up, because I think a big part of college life is the college experience, getting away.
Exactly.
And,
I think,
you know,
so
you don't
too,
have somebody watching over you all the time, but other than that...
I would love to know what you've got planned. No eyes on me.
I hope Bob's not listening.
No.
But I definitely think that a big part of college life is the social aspect, and you're getting to know new people, and, you know, you have to learn what it's like to live on beans on toast for a while as well.
That's
it's a crucial element.
A bit of cheese on beans and toast. I have that still, and I'm well past university age. Right, okay. Charles, what's Christmas mean to you? Are you looking forward to it?
Oh, I love Christmas. Mm. I love Christmas. I was actually the only person in my workplace there.
I'm not going to say, I mean, you're not wearing a Christmas jumper, though, and I am wearing
No, but that's what I was going to say. I was only away to a Christmas jumper day in work yesterday, and I was the only person in work wearing one.
Well, they should all be ashamed of themselves.
They really should.
Yeah, okay.
They really should.
Right, and the punishment should be their turkey should be burnt for Christmas. That would be an adequate punishment.
That is that's a good possibility, all right, actually. Yeah, they're not great chefs.
So you're loving Christmas, looking forward to it. What about you, Cassie?
Oh, I love Christmas. usually we'd go down to Tipperary to see all the cousins, and then we do a road puck with St. Enan. So me, my dad, my sister, my brother, we'd always take part in it. And it's literally just pucking on the road with your hair on your slitter as far as you can.
Yeah.
And it's like golf, the person with the lowest points win. Now, my brother, my dad and my sister, they won third place last year. I was not part of that team, so
they
we had to
won get... third place. Come here.
I know.
We win first.
Well, I was marking their cards.
We win first. Okay, we don't win third.
No, I'm only joking. You are the second person to lose there, so...
The second runner-up. Okay, yeah. What about you, Cassie? Christmas, what's it with you? Are you looking forward to it? Is it what's what? What are you laughing
at? Chloe.
Chloe. Who's Cassie then? Oh, hi, Cassie. Chloe.
Hi, Greg.
I have a lot of balls in the air here. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a lot going on. But go on, Chloe, sorry.
I absolutely love Christmas. I've been on since November. I redecorated my room for Christmas. So obsessed with Christmas. I've been watching a Christmas film a day since the season began. It's the best time of year.
And just when you get out from the house, you can do whatever you like. Watch as many Christmas films as you like.
Yes, exactly.
Listen, Charles Gallagher, Youth Advocacy Campaigner, thanks so much for joining us. It's been lovely having you in, Charles. Cassie Lamb, Regional Officer for the Irish Second Level Students. Great to have you back on, Cassie.
Thank you.
And Chloe Martin on the Students' Council of Loretto Community School, Milford. Thanks so much again.
Thank you.